Welcome to the Book of Mormon podcast. My name's Kyle, and I'm just a guy who really enjoys reading the Book of Mormon. As we journey through the text together, I'll do my best to help you stay on top of all the characters and storylines that are going on. But if you have any doctrinal or historical questions, you can get those answered in real time by reaching out on mormon.org/chat. 2 Nephi chapters 16 and 17 are still Isaiah, but they're different from what we've been reading so far. Up to this point, Isaiah has been teaching and prophesying and doing those sorts of things. Starting here and for the next few chapters, he starts talking about current events, current in his own time, hundreds of years before Christ. And so that's a little difficult for a 21st century reader such as myself to wrap my head around, because I don't know a lot about who these people and places are. But we will continue working through this. Chapter 16, at least, is pretty straightforward, so let's just hop right in and get started. Verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is unto me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips. And thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sins are purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord, saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me. So this sounds like, to me, Isaiah being called as a prophet, as sort of like a representative of the Lord. I'm not exactly sure why it's plopped here in the middle of things, instead of maybe at the beginning of the book of Isaiah. But anyway, here it is. He has this vision. He sees the Lord sitting on his throne, and there are these couple of seraphim with six wings, and they're flying around, and Isaiah feels uncomfortable with this. He says he's a man of unclean lips, and he lives with people who have unclean lips, and one of the seraphs takes a hot coal from off the altar and puts it on Isaiah's lips and says, Your iniquity is taken away. Your sins are purged. Basically, you're forgiven. And then the Lord says, Who will I send? And Isaiah volunteers. Verse 9. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but they understood not, and see ye indeed, but they perceived not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and be converted, and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he said, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord have removed men far away from there, for there shall be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet there shall be a tenth, and they shall return and shall be eaten as a teal tree, and as an oak whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves. So the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. And that's all there is to chapter 16. So Isaiah is sent on this mission that sounds really unpleasant. Chapter 17, verse 1. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. See what I mean by current events here? There's lots of names going on here. But if we pay attention, we see that this is in the days of Ahaz, who is the king of Judah, and I assume that's where Isaiah is. Then there's the king of Syria. Syria, I'm pretty sure, is an enemy of Judah. But also Pekah, king of Israel. And Israel and Judah, you would expect to be friends. I would expect that, at least. Maybe I'm just ignorant about Old Testament politics. But it turns out that Israel and Syria are coming toward Jerusalem to war against it. And that sounds like bad news for Judah, but they could not prevail against it. So that's good. Verse 2. And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim, and his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. So this is bad news, right? Syria and Ephraim. Ephraim is one of the 12 tribes of Israel, I think. Anyway, he's one of the sons of Joseph. Ephraim and Manasseh were the two. And so Ephraim is confederate with Syria, and that's sad to the house of David, which I assume is the people of Judah. This is complicated stuff. Verse 3, then said the Lord unto Isaiah, go forth now to meet Ahaz, that's the king of Judah, thou and Shear-Jashub thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field, and say unto him, take heed and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted, for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria, and of the son of Remaliah. So those are these two nations coming up, Syria and Ephraim attacking. Don't worry about them. Verse 5, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, yea, even the son of Tabeel. I don't know who that is, but that's a guy they want to set up as the king of Judah. Verse 7, thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. Whew, good news. Verse 8, for the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus Rezin. And within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. So not exactly sure what's going on there. I don't know exactly how it's supposed to be comforting that 65, what's that, 65 years from now, Ephraim will no longer be a people. But anyway, it sounds like the Lord is saying, they're coming against you, but you're going to be fine. Verse 10. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, still king of Judah, remember, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depths or in the heights above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for ye to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? Now here we get into a really interesting part. This next verse might sound familiar to you. It's typically in Christian circles, which I run in because I'm a Christian, taken to be a prophecy of Jesus. And certainly, Isaiah was the sort of prophet who knew about Jesus coming hundreds of years beforehand and knew details about, like, who he would be born to and the circumstances and such. But honestly, as I'm reading it here in context, it doesn't sound like that at all to me. Verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and to choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. So this is a prophecy about current events. You know, this child is going to be born, and before he's old enough to know the difference between right and wrong, those lands that thou abhorrest, I assume that's Syria and Ephraim, maybe, are going to be forsaken of both those kings. So, like, a child's going to be born, and in just a couple of years after that, these kings are going to be gone. Verse 17, the Lord shall bring upon thee, and upon thy people, and upon thy father's house, days that have not come from the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall hiss for the fly that is in the uttermost part of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria. And they shall come and shall rest all of them in the desolate valleys, and in the holes of the rocks, and upon all thorns, and upon all bushes. In the same day shall the Lord shave with a razor that is hired by them beyond the river, by the king of Assyria, the head and the hair of the feet, and it shall also consume the beard. And it shall come to pass in that day, a man shall nourish a young cow and two sheep, and it shall come to pass for the abundance of milk they shall give, he shall eat butter. For butter and honey shall everyone eat that is left in the land. So Isaiah, being Isaiah here, is speaking in sort of flowery, poetic terms, which I appreciate. I like that. What I gather from this is that Egypt and Assyria, two nations we haven't talked about in this chapter to date, are going to come destroy the people who are trying to destroy Judah. They're going to utterly wipe them out, and anyone who's left in the land is going to have an abundance of milk and honey because everyone else is gone. If there are any Isaiah scholars out there, let me know if I'm way off base here, but so far so good, I think. Verse 23, and it shall come to pass in that day, every place shall be where there were 1,000 vines and 1,000 silverlings, which shall be for briars and thorns, With arrows and with bows shall men come thither, because all the land shall become briars and thorns. And all hills that shall be digged with the mattock, there shall not come thither the fear of briars and thorns, but it shall be for the sending forth of oxen and the treading of lesser cattle. And that's where this chapter ends. In the next chapter, the story is going to continue and get even more confusing.